Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
First and goal from the one. James Stewart already has four rushing touchdowns. What will he get here? Here's a handoff. James Stewart running right. Has room. Touchdown. That's five. James Stewart's fifth rushing touchdown, and the Jaguars lead the Eagles 34-7.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, we brought the field with us. We're over at 1010XL World Headquarters this morning. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, who are you texting over there right now?
My mom.
Why? Does she not know you work 2 hours a day?
No, she does.
Can't leave you alone during those 2 hours?
No, it's a family deal.
Letting her know it's showtime?
I understand it's a family deal. It's your mom, but, you know, is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine.
Then tell her to chill, all right?
You telling her to tune in to Jaguars Today at 10 a.m.?
Right.
Oh, she's listening.
She aware that you're employed now?
Yes, she is. Yes.
You got an on-air gig? Congratulations, Tony, for that. All right, we are off and running. Jaguars Today for the next 2 hours, talking Jags with you and... You know, we'll get right into it. The question of the day, thinking about this yesterday, the reaction from John Osier, you know, we talked about what Joel Corey said on the Franchi show last Friday, that he doesn't believe Yannick Ngakoue would take anything less than $20 million a year on a long-term contract extension. He and Miles Jack, of course, are able to sign long-term deals because they were not first-round picks. They've completed 3 years in the league, unlike Jalen Ramsey, who the Jaguars had the fifth-year option on. They're going to push that out, I would think, a little bit into the future, but not necessarily all that far. We just don't know what the Jags' thinking is on how they're going to approach this, Tone. But Osier seemed to react like, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, that, well, if he wants $100 million over 5 years, he's going to be waiting for a while kind of thing. Did you get that sense that he thought that would not happen, that the Jags would not give that kind of deal? Now, you know, you look at the market for defensive ends and whatever you think about it. Like, I'm not getting caught up in how much they make. Every amount is an absurd amount of money compared to what I make. So what difference does it make if it's $10, $12, $15, $20, $25 million? Makes no difference to me. It's only a question of how it fits in the long-term plans and the short-term plans, I guess, as far as that goes, for the NFL salary cap. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, and do you want to pay Yannick Ngakoue $100 million? Me, personally, it's my top priority to get something worked out with Yon. But if Yon says, this is the number, and I'm not coming down from it, and I will bet on myself, and I will go out and play this year, and show up and play as hard as I can, and put up some numbers, and then take my chances in free agency, well, you know, you could always franchise tag him. That is an alternative for the Jaguars to go that route. But if you don't have Miles Jack under a long-term deal, you can only franchise tag one of those guys. I'm not saying they'd necessarily franchise tag Miles at this point. I would think they'd like to work out something. Look, they just took a big hit to their linebacking core. Is it okay if I mention the name Telvin Smith? Some people are going to get their underwear all bunched up, is, I believe, somewhere near what the expression is. But I got to believe Miles Jack is right now is a guy you do not want to lose. Not that you wanted to lose him anyway, you know, but going forward, here's a guy who's got positional versatility. Pretty much, I think he could play any linebacking position for you.
Sure, and you're not going to franchise tag him because you'd have to do it. The linebacker number includes the pass rushing linebacker.
The outside pass rush.
So I'm guessing it's somewhere over $15 million, and I doubt they're doing that.
Right, you're not going to go that route.
Yeah.
So the question we're asking today is, which of these three guys, or maybe none of them, gets the next long-term extension from the Jacksonville Jaguars? And we're not asking who's deserving of it, because to me, Yannick Ngakoue is deserving of it. I'm not saying they're not all deserving of being extended at some point, but based on what he's given you at the position he plays and the way where he was drafted and the fact that you don't have team control over him beyond the 2019 season other than using a tag, that's my top priority. That's who I want to see happen. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be who gets the next long-term deal.
No, it doesn't. Look, we talked last year this time, we were talking a lot about another player that they could potentially franchise tag, right? And Allen Robinson. It was a big conversation piece around this time last year. And you and I were on the same page. I would have done it to keep A-Rob around. There were more questions. There were more questions and more significant questions about what you would have to do to keep Allen Robinson than there are with Yon. There just are. You have no questions about him being available. It's never been an issue with Yannick Ngakoue. He plays the more premium position, and the guy's a third-round pick who's basically been paid nothing compared to what his production has been for you to this point in his career. Yeah.
And it's not a reward contract. We're not saying great for what you've done in the past. You expect this guy to continue to get
absolutely
better. At least I do, you know, and you can look at the sack total last year and what people would consider a down year for him. He had 9.5 sacks. How many 9.5 sack seasons in Jaguar history have there been? Not all that many.
No.
And we've detailed it to the point where I feel like we're just being blatantly redundant talking about how many quarterback hits he had, third most quarterback hits in the league. And typically you could have expected based on past results that if a guy gets as many quarterback hits as he had, he would have ended up with about 14 sacks in a typical year. So those things balance out. It could have easily been a case where he had 17 or 18 sacks last year, and you would have said, well, you know what? Chances are that number is going to come down based on the law of averages, and you'd be right. But just because he was on the low end doesn't mean that his agent and his representatives don't realize the kind of impact that he has had even last year on this football team. So we're asking you today, who gets that next long-term extension? You know, you could play it out with Jalen Ramsey for quite a while.
Yeah.
If you want to.
You got a lot more control with Jalen.
You do.
And the money you'd have to pay him under the franchise tag compared to what he's probably going to be asking for is pretty reasonable, right? Like, that's a reasonable direction for the team to go, and then you have to deal with whatever the fallout would be from Jalen's side of going that route.
Right, does he show up?
Right, like, you just don't know what the answers to any of that would be. And, look, if Yon was going to ask for $20 million a year and the team was like, we need another year to try to figure this out, if they did franchise him and it was $17 million, all right. You know, you understand the team going that direction with it, too.
I do, right.
Eventually, you'd run out of options to do that because you got too many guys that you got to pay.
Right, you can only tag one of these guys, you know. So you can only use the transition and the franchise tag in the same year. You can use one tag to retain a player, and basically, the only tag that hardly gets used anymore is the franchise tag. And who knows how he would react to that? You know, he may say, hey, "Look, I've done everything you've asked of me. I want the long-term security of." You know, a 5-year deal and the 40 to 50 or whatever amount of millions in guaranteed money that comes along with it, obviously it's got to work for both sides, man. And that's kind of the place we're in right now. So deserving of it, I think they're all deserving of it in their own right, depending on what the price is. You know, and that comes down to, again, we talked about Jalen Ramsey. If the top of the market for corners is in the $15 million to $16 million range, which it is, let's say he wants 20. Let's say he wants to set the precedent and set it so far above what it is right now. What do you do with that?
Right.
Do you give him that and say, you know what, you're the best in the game? Well, the best in the game, we'll be happy to pay you as the top cornerback in the league. We're just not going to bid against ourselves because we don't have to. We can apply the franchise tag. And if they do, does he show up for anything? I mean, he doesn't have to sign it. It's not a holdout. When you don't sign, Le'Veon Bell didn't hold out from the Steelers last year, in my opinion, because he never signed the franchise tag. He wasn't under contract.
Right.
He just didn't play. And that was his prerogative. And you can debate whether or not it was the right move or not to leave that much money on the table. Yannick Ngakoue, for instance, is in a different position this year. I heard Joel Corey talk about this. Again, he's a former agent. He now works for CBS Sports. He was on with Frank Franchi and the crew on Friday on 1010XL saying, you know, at the extreme, he could see him holding out until the point where you have to show up to have that league year accrued to your contract. In other words, he could see him holding out into the season and saying, I'm going to come back, play for this little bit of money, because it's different that Le'Veon Bell left $14 million on the table.
Yes, he did.
Whereas Yannick Ngakoue would be leaving a million or two if he sat out half the year. I'm not saying he's going to do that, by the way. I don't think he's going to do that. And because he's gambling on getting that $50 million in guaranteed money. He hasn't had that. You may say $1 million is life-changing money, and it is to a typical person. But in this realm, we understand that there's a much bigger stratosphere that Yannick Ngakoue wants to get paid in. So that's the question of the day. and we'll talk about that today. Something I mentioned yesterday and we didn't get to, and so we'll try to touch on this a little bit today if we can. Some veterans out there. What is the Jags cap situation right now, at least according to those capologist websites, with or without Telvin Smith? They project the Jags without Telvin Smith playing to have somewhere in the $12 to $13 million range in cap space. Would you go out there and sign a Jamie Collins or a Sam Acho or any of these other players? What about a Kyle Rudolph? If he gets released by the Minnesota Vikings, maybe he thinks that, you know, a lot of people speculate he'd go to the New England Patriots. What about to the Jaguars? So could there still be veteran free agents out there, be they linebackers or any other position that the Jags could make a play on? We'll talk about that today a little bit as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. If you want to weigh in, we made it into a Twitter poll at MD_1010XL is where you can vote on today's question of the day. If you'd like to do that, you're certainly welcome to. And of course, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. So get on board with that. 641-1010 for the phone lines, which of course are driven, or the text lines driven by Duval for the phone lines at the same number, 641-1010. It always is on every single day. So the question of the day, by the way, brought to you by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. We appreciate those guys hopping on board as one of our newest sponsors here on Jaguars Today. So be a part of the program. Take the conversation where you'd like it to go. Talking Jags with you for the next 2 hours. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, Tony, I'm thinking about letting a little pre-draft lottery depression kick in, because I'm absolutely convinced the Knicks will get no better than the third pick, more likely the fourth or fifth pick tonight. Honestly, they have a better chance to get one of those little. Yeah. You only have a 14% chance to get the top pick.
It's just such
so
a.
It's not likely.
It's just such a funny, like, yin or yang with you, because I know how big of a Knicks fan you are.
Oh, look, if and they like, get the number one pick, I will be insufferable.
But Knicks fans don't believe anything good's ever going to happen to them. Yankees fans are convinced nothing bad could ever happen.
Ah, keep going on the injured list. I like to call it still the DL. You know, I guess. Why did they
injured
change it
list,
from the disabled? Is that not politically correct to say
no
disabled?
Idea. Honestly, they did it at the same time they changed like the length of times on it, so...
Oh, the IL instead of the DL, yeah. Whatever the case. We sent two more there yesterday. That means we're going to have a hell of a week. It doesn't bother me. Honestly, I love this fantastic year.
That's
two
what
go
I'm
down,
saying.
One comes up.
That's what I'm saying. The Yankees, nothing
week.
Bad can happen.
Nothing
they
bad,
can't be
baby.
Touched. There is no kryptonite for that Superman. But the Knicks are just constantly surrounded
by their
own kryptonite. It's like Superman having to live in a building of kryptonite.
They're going to draft a guy. They're going to have the fourth pick. They're going to draft some project who tears his knee up or ankle or something or other. At least this.
History says
at
yes.
At least this. At least Kristaps got jumped when he was a Maverick, okay? By the Russian mobsters or whatever they were and beat to a pulp because, you know, that's one small franchise embarrassment we were spared.
Sure.
So thank you for that. But no, I want me Zion, Durant. And what I really want is Zion, Durant, and Kawhi. And don't tell me Durant and Kawhi can't play together. I'll figure it out, okay? that's what I want, but I think what's going to happen is we're going to get Scrubbo, we're going to max out like Jimmy Butler, and then no one else will take the other max salary slot, and we'll hang on to the cap space, hopefully, for another year. That's what we're going to get. 72% right now say that Yannick Ngakoue will get the next long-term. This is, again, not who deserves it, but who – and look, it's fine. If you think he will – I hope they work it out. I hope that is right because that would be the proper thing, in my opinion. What surprised me a little bit was that 22% think that Jalen Ramsey is the next best choice or the best choice on this list. I think he's the last one to get the contract extension. You play him, you have him under control for this year. Now, look, as we were saying on the break, you want to set the market right now, in new money, an average – contract year, new money, Xavier Howard's getting $15.3 million on the new years of his deal, right? And if you roll in the year that he's under contract for, you can play with the numbers however you want. But he got basically a contract extension, and in those extension years, it's worth $15.3 million on average, right? Whether he sees all that or not, I don't care. Okay, hey, Jalen, you want $16 million a year? Do it.
Let's do it.
Let's rubber stamp that today. My sense is Jalen Ramsey is not going to want to settle for just a smidge better than the last guy. That's my sense. I could be wrong about that, but my sense is Jalen is going to look at himself and say, I'm among the best defensive players in the league. I should be paid among the best defensive players in the league, regardless of what position they play. Now, this person on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, says this notion that Jalen and Unique can set the market is stupid. As they are good players, are they good players? Yes, but I'm a true Jag fan, and I've seen other players at their position make more impactful plays week in and week out on other teams. Let's not get stuck on them being the best thing on this team and look at them like they're the best in the league. Far from it. A, never said Unique is going to set the market.
Nope.
The market for new pass rusher deals is over $20 million a year now. He has the 11th most sacks in the league since he came into the league, and he's got youth on his side. And he's been a playmaker in terms of forcing turnovers and things like that. Not saying he's going to set the market. Never said he's going to set the market.
Sure.
Jalen, if you think Jalen is far from the best at his position in the National Football League, then I don't know what you're watching. I really don't. You want to make an argument for Patrick Peterson or one or two other cornerbacks in the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Is that far from the best? No, that means you're right there competing to be the best at your position in the league. You tell me what other cornerback GMs would take if they had the first pick of any corner in the league other than Jalen Ramsey.
I think it'd be Jalen.
I'd be Jalen hands down. Yeah. I think at least 75% of the GMs would take Jalen Ramsey, and it may be much higher than that because he's got youth on his side. He's got ability on his side. He's got it all. He is as good a corner as there is, in my opinion, in the National Football League right now.
Totally agree.
That doesn't mean I'm going to pay him 30, 40% more than any other corner is making.
No, and when you look at what defenders are making in the league, and I think that's the way Jalen looks at it, I don't think he looks at it and says, I'm the best corner in the league. I think he does look at it and say, I'm among the best defenders in the league. And so, look, there are four guys in football right now on defense that make $20 million a year. Four. Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Jalen Ramsey says, make me number five. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's the way that Jalen looks at it. And from an impactful side, like, give me a break. Like, there really is no other corner that's making more impactful plays than Jalen Ramsey in the league. He won a wild card game 2 years ago. That wasn't that long ago. Last year, he intercepts Ben Roethlisberger twice in a game that they should have won going away, and they didn't because their offense couldn't get 10 yards. That had nothing to do with Jalen Ramsey. The reason that they lost that game, they've had the albatross of this offense hanging around his neck since he got here. We'll see what it looks like this year for him. Jalen Ramsey is clearly one of he is, in my opinion, the best corner in the league. You can argue for some other guys that they might be. Doesn't mean I want to pay him $20 million a year. I also think to that texter, I would ask, if Yannick Ngakoue and what he's given you and the youth and a guy who looks like a double-digit sack guy year to year at this point in his career, if that's not worth investing in, what is?
Right, I don't know.
Like, honestly, if that guy isn't worth investing big money in, what is worth investing in from a perspective of we drafted him, we found him, we developed him, he's our guy, then who is worth being your guy if it's not a guy like Yannick Ngakoue? I don't understand it.
The 2018 NFL, look, and this is just a poll that they do every year, right? But the top 100 players rolls out every year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's list, Jalen Ramsey, 17th. He was the highest rated cornerback on the list, voted on by his peers. The players in the league think he's the best cornerback in the National Football
League. And honestly,
when you say he's far from it,
yeah.
I question your football acumen.
And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's there again this year.
Despite the bad record for the football
team. I do wonder how much pushback he'll get for the article.
There's going to be some of that. And you know what? He's not been a lovey-dovey, easy-to-wrap-your-arms-around player, right?
No.
And now players don't always care about that, but he did take that to an extreme last offseason. I'll see if I can find quickly where Unique is on this list. He came in 88th on the list coming into last season. You know, how many defensive ends ahead of him? I'm not sure. I'd have to scroll through the entire list. But I would think when you combine youth, like you said, he's a guy you've developed. What else do you want to invest in, right? Everyone talks about you can't win this thing by going crazy in free agency. You got to draft and develop players. Well, that's great. When you draft and develop them, then you got to keep them.
Yep.
Right? At least the good ones. Unless you have Tom Brady playing for peanuts and you're Bill Belichick and you let guys go and it's a unique situation. I mean, you could point to the Patriot model all you like. Can't replicate it because you're not going to find the best quarterback or among the two or three best quarterbacks in the league taking a far below market value deal year in, year out.
Combined with the best coach maybe in
arguably
league history.
In league history.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's fine if you – you know, guess what? Nobody else has lived up to that standard either over the last 20 years or so. So if that's the standard, we're all going to fall short on that. Moving on. Another one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. I believe Jalen will ultimately get the next big long-term deal. I think they'll let Unique walk. As for Miles, as talented as he may be, I don't think they've ever gotten the best out of him for a lot of different reasons. Now, I don't agree with this, but I think the Jags feel that they must keep the cornerback tandem together. It's the only position that didn't drop dramatically from 2017 to 2018. Plus, he gives the Jags a nationally recognized star that we've only had a few times over the years from a business standpoint. I believe that matters to Khan. Those are good points, but at the same time, they can keep Jalen around by just letting him play out his contract. This year, they've already picked up the fifth-year option for next year, and then you could franchise tag him for a couple of years. So basically, you could have him on a four-year deal, and we worked out the math on this. That would come in less than the average of any extension that you're going to pay him. Now, there are reasons to extend him. A, maybe you can get a few more extra years on the back end. The price is going to go up. You keep the guy happy, all these different things, right? And maybe you put something in there, if it's important to you as a franchise, to put some kind of bonuses or some of the money tied to his showing up for OTAs in the offseason. You know, that's between them, however they work out. I don't really care.
No.
As far as that goes. But
yeah, the workout bonus or whatever they put in these sometimes.
Right. And
yeah.
But this person may be right, by the way. I'm not suggesting that they're wrong. They may let Unique walk, ultimately. I don't think they'd let him walk without at least franchise tagging him for 2020, unless he fell off the cliff. If he showed up this year and he just was miserable. Right? And you're like, wow, maybe we've seen the best out of him. I'd be shocked first if that happened. But I can't – look, if they let Unique walk, I think it would be after 2020.
Agreed.
A year on the franchise tag. And you'd have to see Josh Allen blooming into what you feel could be kind of the weak side pass rush dynamo. But, man, who doesn't want two of those, right? I mean –
right. Like, I can't –
who's not always chasing pass rush?
Right. I don't think – maybe they don't want to pay Yannick Ngakoue $20 million a year. And again, this is all speculation. But maybe they don't want to pay Yannick Ngakoue $20 million a year. But I can't imagine they'd be completely against paying him $17 million. You know? Like, I don't think they're against paying him that kind of money, which is what it would cost to pay him under the franchise tag for a year. Like, you'd get him at the – I'm guessing the cost that they wouldn't want to have him under for a year – and get another year to try to work it out, and that gives Josh Allen another year to develop. Like, it extends the time, at least for them to make that kind of decision. And, look, I think it is more vital to hold on to Yon than it is Miles Jack, even as great as I think Miles Jack could potentially be. Yon plays a more premier position in the league with a player that, as good as Calais has been in his couple of years here in a Jaguars uniform, at some point old age has to catch up with Calais Campbell.
Right.
I don't necessarily think it has to be 2019, but I think sometime in the next two or three years, it's going to drop off, the production for Calais, and you need more than one guy playing the position. You drafted a guy that can play it for you right now in Josh Allen. Josh and Yon, let's roll with those two guys for the next 5 years. That sounds like fun to me, and if the team's plan isn't to do that, I'd be a little bit surprised.
Right, and even if it could be a case where you envision you get a big end who plays on first and second down, and maybe you do use Josh Allen more as a strong side linebacker.
Yeah, maybe
Taven
Bryant turns into that.
And you end up just having the Yon Allen combo on the edges for the next 4 to 5 years or whatever the case may be. I mean, that boy, when you can get that in the National Football League, you pay that.
Right.
If you can get it and you get it at the entry point like they're doing it with youth. Now, we're projecting a lot on it, Josh Allen. We haven't seen – just because you had gaudy stats in the SEC does not mean you're going to produce like that. I hope he does.
Hope he does.
All right, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, you know the ways to do it, primarily picking up the phone and calling 641-1010 or hitting the text line driven by Duval Ford at that very same number. Who will be the next one to get the long-term deal? Will it be Jan? Will it be Miles Jack? Will it be Jalen Ramsey? Or maybe none of them ultimately get the long-term extension? You can share your thoughts with us here. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, talking about the future plans, keeping them around here in Jacksonville for some of the young stars that were drafted together, in particular, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue, various level of stars for each, right? But I think certainly three key young players on this team that they've drafted and developed at this point. Somebody on, Twitter, BCB Couch said, the front office gave Dante Moncrief, Marquise Lee, and Blake Bortles $46 million guaranteed last year. How the hell is paying Jan even a debate? Not saying it should be. The reason we're questioning it is, you know, you have Joel Corey, a former agent, saying that if I'm Jan's people, I'm not taking a penny less than $20 million a year. Okay? And the reaction of John Osier, who writes for the team website, is, well, you might be waiting a while to get that deal done then, if that's the case. He seemed to think that they're not going to $20 million a year. Now, John may be wrong. That's his opinion on it, right? But I don't know. You know, like, what is the range that's fair? I would pay Yannick Ngakoue. We've talked about it many times. Not a question. Look, I'm not the GM, you know? Young guy, you drafted him, you developed him, pass rusher, impact player, works his ass off, does everything you want, loves the game, dependable. Is he flawless? No. But how many young pass rushers do you want more than Yannick Ngakoue? And wouldn't it be nice to reward a guy who came up through your system that
Absolutely,
you actually found?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, checks every box for me. No question about it. These were the guys E.T. did the research for us. These were the pass rushers. You call them defensive ends. Call them edge players, whatever you want, okay? These are kind of in the category with Yannick Ngakoue. And this is, again, according to the NFL's top 100, which is not a scientific poll. We understand that. Just to give you a little bit of context, though. Okay, here are the players listed ahead of them. You tell me, Tony, at this point, who you'd rather invest in going forward. Von Miller came in ninth on the list.
Probably Von Miller.
Von
yeah.
Miller's phenomenal. Yeah. Von Miller's on a Hall of Fame track, right?
Yes.
Proven, still at the top of his game. Calais. Calais was 14. He was the second highest ranked edge rusher in this on this list. I'd rather pay Jan because he's got a lot more football left.
Sure.
At this moment, I think Calais is a better player. But for how much longer will that be the case?
Right.
Right? So, you know, you got to balance that out. Khalil Mack.
Mack.
Yeah. Everson Griffin.
Griffin.
Would you?
I think it's close, but yeah.
I go Jan. Everson Griffin's getting up there. Last year, he had whatever the mental issue was, he had to step away from the team. His play tailed off significantly prior to that.
What is Danielle Hunter getting?
I don't know what he's getting. He's, you know, he's not on this list, but he should
he
be.
Came in
he
and
will,
what?
He will be this year.
Yeah, he came in what, 2015? He was a year before Jan, right? Let me look up Dan.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. I can't tell you off the top of my head. Cam Jordan. Cameron Jordan of the Saints.
Jan.
I'd rather pay Cameron Jordan. Cameron Jordan, to me, is a better all-around player. He's much better against the run than Ngakoue is. Chandler Jones.
Ooh.
I think Jones is clearly that.
Yeah,
I mean, Jones. Jones is a machine. Jadeveon Clowney.
Jan.
It's close, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and Joel Corey's point was you want to beat Clowney to the punch because if Clowney sets a new number out there,
well, Clowney
Jan stacks up pretty favorably,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Clowney and Bosa. I mean, Bosa's – they got the fifth-year option with Joey, right? And then they can do whatever they want to from a franchise tag perspective. But Joey Bosa's been unbelievable. Like, Joey Bosa, I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 years when they have to do that deal, if he's getting 25 a year.
Jan has more sacks.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me a bit if Joey Bosa's getting 25.
And Ngakoue has more sacks than Joey Bosa over the same time period, in part because Joey Bosa hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, on a per-game basis, Bosa's more productive. But how do you balance – I have no doubt that Joey Bosa's going to get crazy money. But how do you balance the value of showing up and being available week after week after week?
Danielle Hunter, signed a 5-year extension
okay.
for $72 million.
Take that. Oh, my gosh, please. Yeah. Take that in a heartbeat.
14.4 a year.
I will walk to Jan's house barefoot.
For no, Hunter.
I'm going to wear flip-flops.
Yeah.
I will walk in those like those surf shoes to Jan's house.
He was a third-round pick
sign that
in
deal.
2015, so he's a third-round pick the year before.
The year prior.
He signed that deal last offseason. He followed that up with his best year, 14.5 sacks, 72 tackles for Danielle
well,
Hunter
if
last
it's
year.
In the ballpark of that,
oh, 14.
It's not even a question.
Yeah, no.
I think if it were in that ballpark, they'd already have the deal done. I really do.
I do, too.
I think if it were like a 5-year, $75 million deal, signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah.
It'd be done.
6, 12.5, 7 sacks his first 3 years, and then 14.5 last year. So 40 in his first four.
What about DeMarcus Lawrence?
Lawrence.
He's been better, right? Yeah. Bosa. Okay, Cam Hayward.
I'd probably take Jan.
It's closer, though,
yeah.
right? It's close. Cameron Wake, obviously you take Jan.
Jan
Cameron Wake
Young,
is
yeah.
Melvin Ingram.
Jan.
I would, too. Maybe we're being a little bit homerish. I don't know.
Ingram's,
I mean, Melvin Ingram's a good player.
A little bit older, too, though.
J.J. Watt. For the next 2 or 3 years, I'd probably take Watt.
Yeah, but over the course of, yeah.
I don't know at what point that body is going to break down completely
right.
on him, you know? So.
And the number we keep talking about with Yannick, too, is this quarterback hits number, right? His 9.5 sacks should have been probably in the 14
right.
neighborhood last year. If you look at J.J. Watt, J.J. was exceptionally high in the percentage of sacks that he got compared to
based
his quarterback,
quarterback
hits last
hits,
year.
Right.
Like, and it was his big bounce back year for J.J. Watt.
He had like 16 sacks.
Yeah, I expected to come back probably to the middle for J.J. this year. That doesn't mean I don't still think he's a Pro Bowl level player. I think he's shown that he is.
So, in other words, Jan's in the conversation. He may not be the best pass rusher, and I don't think he is
no.
in the entire league, but he holds his own versus some of the guys who are ranked ahead of him. Some of those are older that you wouldn't want to invest in.
Well, and among the names that we just went down, right? Among the names that we just mentioned, you go look at the players that are getting paid the most on that side of the ball. Khalil Mack
mm-hmm.
is going to top that list.
Right.
He's obviously one of the guys we mentioned there. Aaron Donald, but he's interior.
Different position.
So it's a different
right?
thing. DeMarcus Lawrence just got 21 a year.
21? I thought it was 22. Is
no,
it 21?
21 a year.
Okay.
Frank Clark, who we didn't even mention there,
right.
just got 20.8.
Right.
Frank Clark just got 20.8. Vaughn Miller, who signed his deal in 2016, got 19. to
that
give
was
you an idea.
In 2016.
In 2016.
Vaughn Miller's an all-time great.
Yeah. Trey Flowers is at $18 million. Right? And that's
see,
the kind
that,
of number we're talking
that,
about here
right,
for Jan.
See, right. $18 million for a guy who nobody at this point is suggesting. He was the best pass rusher available.
Yep.
That doesn't mean he's on the level of these other guys necessarily, consistently. And again,
and then you're getting to the franchise tag, basically, which is $17 million a year. That'd be Fletcher Cox, D Ford, Olivier Vernon are the guys in there.
Somebody put on the text line, because we're talking about Jan, will he want in the $20 million range, right? And that's kind of, we don't know what he's going to want. Somebody said, has Jalen said he wants $20 million per? Why are we speculating that he will? Seems a little disrespectful. I don't know if he's trying to be clever with the, that's a little disrespectful.
I guess so, yeah.
Maybe, right? But yeah, I am speculating what he will. Based on his personality, and please be wrong. Please be willing to take something close to what the top of the market is right now, and not try to blow it out. I'm speculating. Absolutely, we all do it all the time. I don't know. Do you think Jalen Ramsey's given me his contract demands for a long term extension? Of course not. Nor is any of these guys. Nor will they ever. So yeah, we are. That's kind of the fun of sports talk radio. We guess a little bit. What are they going to want? It surprised me. Give me a contract like Danielle Hunter's for Yannick Ngakoue. Right now, I would take it in a second. And Danielle Hunter had a massive year last year. And you could argue Danielle Hunter's a lot better. It's just, it doesn't matter. Some of it's just the timing. If Yannick Ngakoue is on the open market, what would he get on the open market? A ton. Now, granted, he's not on the open market yet.
I'm guessing if Yannick Ngakoue on the open market, I'm guessing he's getting paid like DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark.
If at least getting paid in that Trey Flowers range.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at least going to be in that range, like $18 million bucks. And, you know, age, homegrown in terms of you drafted
yeah.
him. I mean,
I love the people that are the, why are you speculating? Would you rather us just go down the list of, like, their stats from last year? Because those are the only solid things that happened. These are the guys they picked. I'm not going to guess at how good or bad they're going to be because that would be speculative. Like, what are we doing? This is a conversation about the football team.
Right.
Come on, man.
Let's see. Here's one on the text line. I think the next deal will go to Miles Jack because his contract is probably the most straightforward. It won't be $20 million plus, and now they have the Telvin situation.
I don't know what Miles' contract would be.
I don't know either. I don't think it should. Look, the C.J. Mosley contract is such an outlier.
Yeah, 17. Right? He's not getting anywhere close to that.
I wouldn't think, you know, but would you give him Telvin's contract? He hasn't performed at the high end. Telvin was better than Miles Jack.
Yes, he was.
But Miles Jack is what you got, right? And he is a very good player. And we think, who knows, maybe he's been playing out of position, right? And he's played wherever you've asked him to play. And he's been a good player. It's not like he hasn't been an impact player. He just he hasn't been to that Pro Bowl, all pro level. But man, if you don't have Miles Jack, what are you doing with this linebacker core, right, going forward?
Sure.
So I think because of that, it may be Miles Jack because it may be the most affordable. I don't think it's the biggest priority to me. Yannick Ngakoue is the biggest priority. And that's what my whole offseason, not the whole, you know, obviously you got to go through free agency and the draft and all that, but my main priority right now is coming to an agreement with Yannick Ngakoue on a number that we can both live with here. And I don't know, maybe there's some incentive structure in the contract, you know, that if you stay healthy, if you're on the field, if you're available for this many games, maybe there's a per game roster bonus or I don't know what that could bump that total up. That if you, and that's something too that we know, Tony and I know, that if Allen Robinson had chose to stay here and had played like a Pro Bowler, he would have made as much or more money as he got from the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
They didn't want to pay a guy like a Pro Bowler unless he was going to play like a Pro Bowler, right? And so they were willing to give him an incentive-laden contract.
Coming off a major injury.
Right.
Yeah.
And you go look at his numbers in Chicago. Was he worth the money? Hell no. Hell no, he was not worth that money in Chicago. And he wouldn't have been worth $15 million here, but under an incentive-laden structure, he would have got what he earned, right? And and so maybe you go something along those lines. I don't know. You know, Danielle Hunter's agent left a lot of money on the table. That may be right, says the guy on the text line. I mean, look, again, Joel Corey doesn't speak for Yannick, but he's a guy that gets the business, right? Former agent, still has a lot of contacts, still in the sports business, so to speak, working for CBS, and he said, look, if I'm the Jags, I'm making sure I get that deal done before Jadeveon Clowney. Because is Clowney worth that? Not based on his production.
No.
Right? Based on you look at him, you're like, boy, if you ever all put it together. Well, how many years can you say that about a guy until he finally has to put it all together for you to kind of pay it off? But I can absolutely see that. If I'm Yannick Ngakoue and I look at Jadeveon Clowney, whatever he gets, I'm like, I'm worth that at least. Right? And it's sometimes the best thing to do from the player standpoint is to be the last guy to sign. And from the team standpoint, it's to just be the first guy to get him inked on the dotted line. You know, hard to know. Yawn better than Griffin, better than age. Closest resembles Danielle Hunter. Boy, Danielle Hunter. What did Danielle Hunter put up last year? I mean, it was
14 and a half.
Was it 14 and a half? And my sense is, I mean, he's a big guy too. My sense is he's better against the run.
Yeah, 6'5", 252, 14 and a half sacks, 72 tackles last year.
Seems even bigger. Jan has more sacks than Clowney. I'm just reading some of the text here. Jan has more sacks than Clowney in his career. Clowney hurt too much early. 5 years, $80 million, 100% guaranteed. Boy, I don't think any team's guaranteeing $80 million bucks in any kind of contract. But would you do that? $16 million a year, fully guaranteed for the next 5 years? Added on to the year that they've got him under with right now. See, if you do it that way, and you look at it like he's going to make $2 or $3 million, let's say $3 million this year, whatever it is, right? So then 6 years, 83, you start slicing that pie up and figuring out what he's getting. But fully guaranteed, I don't know any team that would go fully guaranteed on a 5-year, $80 million deal for a pass rusher.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, that'd be
awful
uncharted
bold
territory.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you got like the biggest fully guaranteed deal we've seen, it was a 3-year deal. Now, the guaranteed money for Kirk Cousins was in that range, right? Was it $81 million, something like that. It
Somewhere
was 27 a year or something, right?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
A 3-year deal, and it's a quarterback. A little bit different.
Yeah.
Here's what Miles Jack is not down with that. I'm not sure exactly what he's not down with according to this, but I'm not, you know, just reading them as they come in. What do I got? Thank you, E. I appreciate that. All right, coming up next, we've got this date in football and the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, got a quartet of birthdays for you on this date in football history. Going back to 1965, happy birthday to big Dave Wydell, 54 years old today. Played center for the Jaguars, started 42 games between the 1995 and 1997 seasons here in Jacksonville, among his many stops in the National Football League. Frank Gore was third-round selection of San Francisco in 2005. He has since climbed to fourth on the all-time rushing list with 14,748 yards. Frank Gore is 36 years old today, a five-time Pro Bowler as well, and there continues to be speculation that LeSean McCoy could get bounced up in Buffalo before the season starts. He's got a very big cap figure. Frank Gore could open the season as a starting running back for the Buffalo Bills, maybe handing off at some point to Devin Singletary, who they drafted this past month. But Frank Gore, 36 years old today and still going strong. Clay Matthews not going nearly as strong. Clay Matthews III, that is, the longtime Green Bay Packer, a six-time Pro Bowler with 83.5 career sacks, turns 83. He just
That'd be
looks
pretty
like
incredible.
It. He turns 33 years old today. And how about this? He's retired, and he turned 30 today. Rob Gronkowski, five-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, three-time Super Bowl champ. He was is behind only Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez in career touchdowns among tight ends with 83 total scores, I believe, is his tally. He was the 2014 Comeback Player of the Year as well. Rob Gronkowski celebrating his 30th birthday today, and that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Quarterback E.J. Manuel is retiring from the NFL. Manuel was the 13th overall selection in the 2013 NFL Draft out of Florida State by the Buffalo Bills and leaves the game with a 6-12 career record as a starter. Manuel was one of only three quarterbacks selected in the first three rounds of the 2013 NFL Draft, the other two being Geno Smith to the New York Jets at 39, so Manuel the only first-round quarterback that year. Mike Glennon at 73 overall in the third round of the Tampa Bay Bucks, so a stellar draft year for quarterbacks there.
One of the worst of all time,
in 2013.
Probably.
The Denver Broncos had their first day of OTAs yesterday, and quarterback Joe Flacco spoke afterwards where he was asked about second-round pick Drew Locke, which Flacco responded, quote, "Listen, I have so many things to worry about. I'm trying to go out there and play good football. I'm trying to go out there and play the best football of my life. As far as the time constraint and all of that stuff, I'm not worried about developing guys or any of that. That is what it is. I hope he does it well. I don't look at that as my job. My job is to go win football games for this football team," basically saying, "and my job isn't to help Drew Locke get ready.
Screw Drew Locke.
To take
I
my want
job. To start as many games as I can."
Absolutely. Jonathan Cyprian, the former Jaguars safety, most recently a Tennessee Titans safety, has been cut by the Titans after suffering an ACL injury. He has been cleared by doctors to get back to playing football, or at least trying to. He is a free agent. And Judge Leonard Hanser has now ruled that the prosecutors in the case against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft cannot use the secretly recorded video that allegedly shows Kraft and others engaged in sexual acts in the massage parlor. The judge said that the police did not do enough to minimize the invasion of privacy on customers who did just go to the parlor for a massage. Kraft's defense team is expected to file a motion to have the charges dismissed entirely, as thus far the video and other related evidence is all the evidence that the prosecution has presented in the pretrial phase. Kraft, while fighting the legal case against him, has already basically admitted that he was caught on tape getting sexual favors at the parlor, leaving the door open for him to be still facing discipline from the league, even if the charges against him were to be completely dismissed.
Money gets you off on anything. Ba-dum-bum on several levels there. All right, on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. This is just wow. With the guessing on how much on sports talk radio, how much these contracts could go for, don't you guys believe you're driving up the market for these guys? The Jaguars do listen to you guys because they say things in their interviews and pressers. I feel we need to stop throwing such high numbers out there because in the long term, we're hurting the team. Okay, a lot to unpack here. A, not my job to negotiate contracts for the Jaguars. I could say I think Yannick Ngakoue is worth $1 billion and has zero impact. Tony and I, last year, how many times could we have said, franchise tag Allen Robinson? Mm-hmm. Do you think that impacted their decision in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely freaking not. Right?
Do you think the team is unaware that if they were to let a guy like Yannick Ngakoue walk, that there would be a bunch of fans that were very upset?
Right, like they're just learning this for us.
It has nothing to do with what we have to say about
it. No, and oh, by the way, I don't know what Yannick Ngakoue's contract demands are. No. I'm just passing along what I heard. You can go back and listen to the interview yourself. Joel Corey, the former agent on the Franchi Show last Friday.
Sure.
Please.
And again, like I know I've said this before. The only reason I even talk about it, we're doing a Jaguar show. The NFL is the only sport where it matters.
In terms of salary cap.
Because of a salary cap.
Well,
it impacts what you can do. Like, there are things you can finagle in the other sports where there is a cap, but it's kind of a cap.
Right, to some degree.
Right. But in football, it matters. How much you're willing to spend on X, Y, and Z player affects what you're able to spend on the next guy. And on a roster where you got to find a way to field 53, it's completely different. I don't care how much money Yannick Ngakoue makes. Don't care. I don't care how much money Jalen Ramsey makes. I don't care what the number is. I discuss it as the way that it affects the team and what they're able to do if they sign these guys to these kinds of deals. I don't care what the number is. It affects the football team, what they choose to do with this money. I think Yannick Ngakoue is worth spending top of the market value at the defensive end position, given his age and the production you've gotten out of him. I just do.
I do too. And guess what? I'm not going to hold that opinion back because I think that, what, Yannick Ngakoue's representatives are going to go, you know, I think we can get more. Mike and Tony said we should be. I mean, it's absurd to think that anything Tony and I say have any effect on what actually goes down. Somebody asked, what are Jadeveon Clowney's stats? I thought he was a beast. Jadeveon Clowney's never had a double-digit sack season.
No.
In the National Football League. He has had his first year he played four games. He was injured a lot and didn't have any sacks. Next year, he started nine games, played a total of 13, had 4.5 sacks. Okay. Well, you got Jan's numbers right there handy?
Yeah, I can pull them up.
Bring up Jan's and let's do this side-by-side and kind of talk about the trajectory that these guys are on. I mean, after 3 years, it's not even close. But I'll give Clowney his first year, just take it right off the table.
Sure. Yon, his first year, started 15 games because Dante waved him off in game one.
Right.
Eight sacks. Yep.
Okay.
23 tackles. He's not a tackle guy.
Right. He's not a high tackle guy. Yep. He had 4.5 sacks and 40 tackles for Jadeveon Clowney. Okay. Next year for Yon.
12 sacks, 6 forced fumbles. I didn't mention the 4 forced fumbles his rookie year, too.
Right.
12 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, and 30 tackles.
By the way, Clowney has a total of 4 forced fumbles in his career, okay? Clowney, who came in with a huge name into the league in 2016, had 6 sacks, 52 tackles, and 17 quarterback hits.
So it's 20-12 at this point.
Compare that. How many quarterback hits for Yon last year?
Last year he had 33.
33, right? Clowney had 17 with 6 sacks. Guess where he went? To the freaking Pro Bowl. Because he's Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep.
Right? The next year, 9.5 sacks for Clowney, 59 total tackles, 21 quarterback hits. This would be equivalent to this past season, really, for Yon. And Yon had what?
9.5 sacks, 28 total tackles, 33 quarterback hits.
So he doesn't give you a ton in the run game,
nope.
Right? And that is a legitimate argument or bargaining point or however you want to look at it from the Jaguars' standpoint. But guess where Clowney went that year? To the Pro Bowl, right? Are those extra 30 tackles in the run game or 20 tackles in the run game enough to give you Pro Bowl status? Apparently they are if your name is Jadeveon Clowney. last year, and we don't have a comparable season, this will be the comparable season for this upcoming year for Yannick. 9 sacks, again, 47 total tackles. That includes the sacks, by the way, and 21 quarterback hits. So how many quarterback hits for Yon in his 3 years?
70.
In 5 years for Clowney, 67. 5 years, right? Jan's hit the quarterback. That's the purpose of being a pass rusher. Hit the quarterback, right? He has been a better pass rusher, no question, than Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. Do I think Jadeveon Clowney is going to get a really big contract? I do. I don't know how big. I don't know if he's going to break them. But he's only 25 years old right now. Jan is what, age-wise?
24?
Got to be something
around 24.
That, right?
He just turned 24 in March.
Okay, so you know he's got youth on his side. He's got production on his side. I think you could very easily argue. I mentioned 4 forced fumbles total in the career for Jadeveon Clowney.
10 for Jan.
Let's see. What else? What other metric could we look at? I really don't know. 6 fumble recoveries. Okay, that's a little bit, you know, that number's kind of dependent on a lot of factors. Mm-hmm. But better, more productive player, except give Clowney has been a better player against the run. There's no question about that. Jan's been a better pass rusher, in my opinion. So do they even out? Okay, let's say even they even out. How many Pro Bowls for Jan, Tony, in 3 years?
1.
Okay, 3 for Clowney in the last 3? Doesn't equate, unless you came in with a bigger name and a high draft profile. Right? I mean, that's part of it, right? It takes you, oh, this guy got drafted in the 3rd round. Why is he putting up these numbers? You know, it takes a while for people to catch on. They expect Clowney to do big things, and when he does anything approaching that, they're willing to reward him because it fulfills their own expectations of what they thought the guy was going to be. Let's see. This is from JagFan15. If Ramsey has a soft tissue injury for the 4th straight camp, is that a concern about signing him long-term? I don't have any concerns about signing Jalen long-term injury-wise, me personally.
Neither do I.
My concern is he going to want to break the wheel, so to speak? Is he going to want to be the breaker of chains, the great Khaleesi, who comes in riding a dragon and torching all previous cornerback contracts that have come before him? And, you know, I don't know that for a fact. I don't think it's disrespectful to speculate that he might want to do that. I think it's almost logical to speculate that he might want to do that, but we shall find out. All right, we'll come back. What will the Jags do? Assuming they have this cap space from Telvin Smith, what are they going to end up doing with it? Will they roll it over? Will they apply it to a long-term contract extension for one of the guys we're talking about today? Will they dip their toes back into the veteran free agent market to try to fill a perceived hole somewhere along the line or take advantage of an opportunity if somebody gets released? Discuss that coming up on the other side. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
On the text line, driven by Duval Ford, 641-1010. Hey, guys, would you be interested in the idea of bringing Jonathan Cyprian back for cheap now that he is a free agent? Would I be interested in bringing him in for cheap? I'd maybe be interested. Look, I wouldn't be shocked if they bring in a low-priced veteran safety at some point in time. The reporting is that several teams have shown interest in Jonathan Cyprian. If I'm Jonathan Cyprian, I don't think I want to go back. Whether it's back to Jacksonville or not, I don't think I want to go to sit and be the guy waiting in case Ronnie Harrison gets hurt or falls, right? Like, I mean, clearly the Jags want Ronnie Harrison to be their strong safety this year. Cyprian was not a great guy in coverage to begin with, but he could bump you a little bit, but I just don't see it being very likely. I think there'll be a team out there that will give Jonathan Cyprian a chance to maybe compete for a starting job in training camp, depending on injury or their situation overall, how that goes. So, you know, would I like to have him back for cheap? Yeah, I'd like to have everybody for cheap, right? Am I allowed to say that, or is that impacting the negotiations?
Are we hurting the value for Sip?
I don't know. I hope I haven't done that for Sip. Sip Squad, everybody. He's got quite the knot of braids on top of his head. I saw a recent social media picture of him, and that thing is just growing by leaps and bounds every season for Sip. He's got them all twisted up. Makes him look like he's about 7'4", actually, all things considered. So would I be interested? Yes. Would he be interested in the type of deal I think they would offer him? I don't think so. According to SpotTrack, Tony, one of those sites that tracks salary cap machinations and tries to keep up with everything going on, I went there and I checked out the Jaguars' current situation. It's a little more complicated now, right, because of the Telvin Smith issue. They put him, even though he's not technically on it, on the reserve did not report list, which would mean I would believe that most of the cap hit, the majority of the cap hit, does not impact them this year, although the bonus portion, I do believe, still impacts them this year, if I'm not mistaken, right? The I guess that would be $2.8 million roughly. Bottom line, their projection for their current cap situation is that the Jags have about $12.5 million worth of cap space. Do you think, or how likely is it, do you think, that they would use even maybe a half of that, a significant chunk, on going out and signing a Jamie Collins to come in, a guy who's played? Now, Jamie Collins is a name, right, who's been a Pro Bowl-level player at times, but by most accounts, his play has fallen off considerably, right? So that's, you know, I'm not interested in paying for the name necessarily, but let's say they thought Jamie Collins could come in and play weak side linebacker at a pretty good level for this team for a year. How likely do you think they would invest that kind of a chunk of their salary cap space on a player like that?
Not likely.
I don't think so either.
I think I don't put it out of the realm of possibility that they get a look at all these guys, you know, into training camp in the first part of the season and say, we got to do something at linebacker.
Right.
Like, I don't put that beyond the realm of possibility. I don't think it would be big money. And I do think thinking about it as a one-year thing is not a bad way to look at it because, again, at this point, the team hadn't even had a conversation with Telvin, as far as we know, and what his plan is.
You have to assume he's donezo for this year.
And what that means for them from a cap perspective in 2020, I don't know. You know, like, is the deal that we all looked at it and said the Jags likely will be moving on from Telvin Smith in 2020. He'll be here one more year. If that's the way you felt about it, I think the majority of people felt that way. I know I did, that they'd be moving on after this year. Well, it's because of the contract this year more than anything else. Is that now the contract next year?
Right.
You know, and the ramifications of that for the football team, I think it's tough until you can at least have a conversation with the guy about what he wants to do. I think it's impossible. So I do think you can look at it as a one-year thing. I think from a team perspective, I'd rather that be the money that gives them the flexibility to go get Yon done, to go get Miles done at whatever level they want to get it done. Like, that's the way I would like to see that money used. But I don't even know that you can do that until you know what's going on with Telvin.
Right.
Until you have a conversation with Telvin Smith, I don't even know that you can know that.
How do you know if you're going to get to that point?
You don't.
I mean, if he hasn't, and for all we know, they're on the phone this very minute, for all we know.
Sure.
I don't know.
I hope they are.
I hope they were on the phone last night.
Right.
You know, but don't get the sense that that's in the offing, right? I mean, he's just going to be, poof, I disappeared. I'm not going to talk to the team. Y'all better chill the F out, guy. Maybe. I don't know, right? But you're right. It does put him in an awkward position because when he comes back next year, are they going to have the same salary cap ramifications if they cut him and it's going to cost them $13 million against the cap, not in actual money, cash, but that's flexibility in what you're able to do. Mike DiRocco, in a recent column at ESPN.com, who will be in with us on Thursday, as he typically is, mentioned Sam Acho, the former outside linebacker for the Chicago Bears. I don't know if Mike has any particular insight if he's heard that name mentioned, but he did say that's a guy to keep an eye on. Acho's got a reputation as being just a phenomenal clubhouse guy, like you know, salt of the earth kind of, you know, do everything. Solid player, not spectacular. You know, I see one of the responses today was, you know, pay Miles now before he switches to weak side linebacker and has that blow-up year. I think ideally, now I don't know if Quincy Williams can handle this. I think ideally they drafted in their mind Quincy Williams to be the heir apparent to Telvin Smith. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. And if that's the case, do you switch Miles out of a position he's played into a position he's never played at the pro level, put in Jake Ryan in the middle? That may be your best alternative. You might not have much of a choice, right, if Quincy's not ready. But I think they love for the opportunity to have Quincy Williams ascend to that starting weak side linebacker job, whether it's right out of camp or halfway through the season or whatever. And I don't know if you get to a point where you've been playing Miles at weak side and Jake Ryan in the middle, and all of a sudden Quincy Williams is ready? Do you move Miles back to, you know what I mean? Do you want to shuffle your linebacker core on the fly? Maybe it's not as hard as you think it might be, or maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I'm not sure, but I think in their heart of hearts, I think they'd love to leave that weak side position for, you know, let somebody else hold down the fort if they need to early on, and let Quincy Williams have the opportunity to show us he's ready a lot sooner than expected.
Sure.
You know, rather than move Miles into the weak side spot, because, you know, if you can re-sign Miles and Quincy Williams could turn out to be what you hope you get in the third round, which is ultimately a guy who starts for you for a number of years.
Sure.
You don't want to have Quincy Williams never going to be a middle linebacker, right?
No.
They've talked about him only being a linebacker and a special teams performer this year. They're not thinking about him as a safety. So his spot is weak side linebacker. That's it. I mean, he's small. He's Telvin size. You know, he's a little-ish guy. I mean, they're not exactly the same size, but he's on that end of the spectrum. And you're not going to get away with that playing on the strong side or in the middle in the National Football League.
No, and look, as we've talked about since this whole story started really developing with Telvin here in the last two or three shows, the concern for me is more, what do you do when you're playing, you know, your nickel on 70% of your snaps defensively? Because that's where we knew what the plan was. Like a week ago, we knew what the plan was, basically, going into the 2019, assuming Telvin was going to be here, because I didn't assume Telvin wasn't going to be here. I knew something was up, and what exactly that was, who knew? He wasn't saying he was taking the year off yet. So at that point, it was like, all right, Miles Shack and Telvin Smith, that's our linebackers when we have to come out of base. Good. You feel really good about those two guys being on the field together. It's trying to figure out that 70% of the time, because even on base downs now, it's like, okay, they have two or three options that they might feel good about at middle linebacker. They have a couple options they can play with at weak side, and that is affected by what they want to do in the middle. Obviously, with Miles Shack, whether they'd rather play him at weak side or in the middle on base downs. But they have options in those kind of spots. I think Josh Allen is eventually going to be the strong side linebacker for this football team because it gets him on the field.
At least for this year.
You're right, yeah. For this year. So that I feel much better about, especially with it being the smaller percentage of the snaps you're going to get. What you're doing on that 70% of the snaps that you're having to figure out what you're doing in two linebacker sets, that's a big question mark. And whether that is Jake Ryan and Miles Jack, or whether that's Miles Jack and Quincy, or whether it's a guy like Ramik coming in that could potentially play the middle for him, I don't know what the answer to that is for this football team. And I think inside that building, it's going to be a big-time question mark for them going into training camp. I don't think they're going to have an answer until we get to the end of preseason football exactly what they want to do with that spot.
All right, a couple more on the text line in regards to things we've been talking about today. One here, I'd rather sign Trey Boston or another true free safety over Sip Berry at strong safety. Look, we talked about Trey Boston among all the guys who were available. Yeah. We talked about that a week or two ago. Top of my list as well. Had a phenomenal year last year, and it's a little curious that he hasn't signed with anybody yet.
Right.
On Telvin's contract, another one, couldn't they put him on the did-not-report-retired list, roll that money over, and use the rollover to cut him? You're going to save a chunk of that money, right? A big chunk of the money. Let's say you're going to save close to $10 million of it against the cap this year. You could roll that $10 million over. You're still going to take like a $13.8 million cap hit if his contract next year just pushes forward a year. That's because that's where you're at this year. He was under contract for 12, whatever, and then if you let him go, it would have cost you like 13.8, something along those lines, 13.4. So that would be the dead cap hit. It does erase a big chunk of it, you know, the money you're pushing forward, but it's the same as if you had played him this year. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't change things a whole lot. If you had played him this year, the money would have counted against the cap, and then you could have cut him next year and saved a chunk in cap savings. Can you save it, roll it over, and impact that? Sure, that's one way to do it, but the net result ends up being about the same. But yes, but again, like you said, you're sitting there, you have no idea. Is this guy going to play again? Why won't he even talk to us about it? You know, right. There's got to be a better mechanism to protect the team, but it is what it is. And so can we allocate, you know, what if we want to sign Jan? What if we come to an agreement? We need some cap space. Can we do that? this year, or Jan or Miles or anybody for that matter? What if the Minnesota Vikings, who have about $800,000 in cap space right now, yet to sign their rookie class, right? Talks broke down on a contract extension for Kyle Rudolph, which would have lowered his cap number for this year.
Mm-hmm.
What if they do release him? I don't know if they will. I mean, Irv Smith is like 20. Irv Smith is very young. I don't know if you want to count on – if you're Minnesota, you think you're a Super Bowl contender, right?
Absolutely.
You want to count on Irv Smith being ready as a rookie, a 20 to 21-year-old rookie, to being capable of doing everything you need to fulfill the requirements of your starting tight end position in what is supposed to be a high-powered offense. Kirk Cousins has been a guy who's favored the tight end quite a bit. You know, look at his five-year production and where his tight ends have ranked in terms of production. It's generally in the top half of the league at the very least, if not higher. Anyway, but let's say they did release him, right? I'd be willing to, I don't know if Jamie Collins is still this great player. I think that Kyle Rudolph would be the best tight end on the Jaguar roster if you had him for a year. So me personally, I'd be willing to pay him $4 or $5 million against the cap, provided that you felt secure about how much you're going to have against the cap this year. I think the problem is, if I'm Kyle Rudolph, I look at the Jags, you may say, you know what, a lot of nice pieces, great defense, but they were a 5-11 team last year. If New England comes calling, and I understand they signed Austin Seferian Jenkins and Ben Watson, where are you going to go if you're Kyle Rudolph? If the money's even close, right? Go to a team that's won six Super Bowls with Tom Brady and has featured the tight end a good bit, obviously, with Rob Gronkowski, or you're going to come to Jacksonville. So I'd be down with doing that. I think he would make this team better. I think he would be one of the most dangerous pass-catching weapons that the team has.
Sure. And maybe playing with DeFilippo again is a bonus for him. Maybe it's not.
We don't know how he feels about that aspect of it, but maybe it would be. You're right. Maybe that'd be an added feather in the Jaguars' cap in pursuing him. But
Nick Foles certainly seemed excited about playing with Flip.
Sure he did. You know, it would depend on, I think, more the suitors, the other options that Kyle Rudolph had,
sure,
whether or not he'd come here. Because I don't think you're going to get into some big bidding war for Kyle Rudolph. You don't have that much cap space.
No, it was funny, too. I was looking at the cap going into the future. The Jags are $30 million over the cap for 2020 right now. Now, obviously, that includes, like, the Darius deal.
Right.
Like, in the day they get out of that
alone.
Yeah, it's $22.5 million. So, like, they're going to get well under that cap number when everything is said and done. But it was funny. I just looked at it out of curiosity. I was like, oh, they're by far the worst team from a cap situation going into 2020 right now. So they got some work to do, figure it out.
Somebody says, sorry to get you to do this, but I try to explain to my girlfriend, can you tell us what the strong side and weak side means? Simplest term, strong side is where the tight end lines up, side the tight end lines up on. Weak side is the side away from the tight end.
Yes.
It's really that basic and that simple. And more times, I don't have the percentages in front of me. But that's as simple as it gets.
Yeah.
The strong side is where the tight end is, and the weak side is the opposite side. Now, two tight end sets skew that, obviously, but that in a typical base offensive set, that's what you're talking about facing from a defensive perspective. All right, we'll come back, take a look at these numbers. Runaway for Jan in today's poll on who you think will get the next big extension. I certainly think he's the guy who I would prioritize getting it worked out with. Does that mean they will get it worked out with? We'll tell you what the numbers tell us among Jaguar fans when we return in the moment. Jaguars today over at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Realize OTAs are a week from today?
Yeah.
How about that? The 21st. No Jalen. No Jan.
Don't tell the other guy.
Oh, yeah, him. Just trying to remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess anyway. Dates for OTAs, none of which are open to the public. 21st, which is next Tuesday, the 23rd and 24th, next Thursday and Friday. Following week, the 28th, the 30th, and 31st, June 3rd, 4th, 7th, and 8th, which is a Saturday. All those others are weekdays. All their practices slated for 10:45 to 12:45.
Is that the mandatory?
This is OTAs.
Okay.
So I don't think any
Mini
of this is mandatory.
The week after. Okay.
I think so. This is all the voluntary stuff. Tony and I have volunteered to be out there broadcasting from OTAs.
Yeah.
Not that we can tell you really anything that's going on. You know, there are very particular rules. When it's not open to the public, you can't say much about what's happening. You can't talk about formations or plays or anything. You might be able to say, hey, looked like so-and-so caught the ball pretty well today. You know,
yeah.
But it, very, very vague generalities.
Don't you dare say what route he ran catching it.
Oh, hell no. No, Tony.
Because they're reinventing the wheel down there, boy.
Jayville special, Duval special. Nick Foles catching it. Who's he going to catch it from? Will it be Swaim? Will it be Oliver?
Will it be one of the Wilsons? Is Marquise for his second career touchdown pass?
Could be.
Yeah.
How many different quarterbacks can Marquise throw touchdowns to in a Jaguar uniform? Will it eventually match his receiving touchdown total? I hope not. So anyway, we plan to be out there broadcasting on those days. The practices will start at 10:45, which really means closer to 11, you know, with stretching and all that stuff going on. Or maybe that's factored in. Maybe everything starts at 10:45. My guess is they're out there stretching at 10:45 on the field.
Yes.
And so that means that, you know, we'll be a different kind of shows. Instead of having one host in with us, a third host for the entirety of the program, maybe we'll rotate two or three guys in the first hour of the program until things start getting interesting, and then everyone wants to go watch a ball in the air, like I would as well. And then we'll hang out, and we'll stick around for the end of practice each day and not be able to tell you anything about it. And that's okay. That's just the way it is, right? It's always been the way it is. And quite frankly, thank you to the Jaguars for making this possible, because in the past, the only time you and I have been able to be in that position to broadcast kind of field side or as close to field side as we're allowed to get is during fully open practices like training camp or a mini camp if it's fully open to the public. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more added value out of it. If nothing else, you and I can work on our tans.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. I will not actually work. I work on my hand tan, work the long sleeves. My golf tan begins at my wrist and, you know, just encompasses my fingers, particularly on the right hand because I always got the glove on the left hand. So the back of my right hand is going to be tan. It's going to be looking good, Tony. It's going to be looking fantastic. So that's what's going on. But they're coming up quickly. So, you know, OTAs and whether or not we can report directly what we see – if the coaches bring it up in their post, you know, practice, you know, Doug Marrone mentioned something, then we can, you know, explore it with them.
Sure.
In that kind of setting and have a little bit more insight that way. Today's question of the day in poll form on Twitter asked you which player will get the next long-term contract extension from the Jaguars. About 500 votes in so far. You can, if you haven't already, vote at MD_1010XL. Unique Ngakoue running the way with it. I hope you're right. You know, I'm like Varus. I hope I'm wrong here. I hope you're right. 71% saying Unique will get the next long-term contract extension. I hope that's the case. I mean, it's so logical, right?
Oh, yeah.
Young, self-developed pass rusher who eats, sleeps, and drinks football as far as we know, you know, has always, you know, been pretty available, works hard. He's all about the grind, you know, I mean, you know, things like that. You know what I mean? Like, look, Jalen Ramsey's a bigger personality. He's a bigger personality than most in the National Football League, right? But Jan keeps his head down. He's all about the business of getting after quarterbacks. And could he be a more well-rounded player? Absolutely. Could he be better against the run? Absolutely. You know, but for a guy that you drafted, I'm sure, because of his pass rush acumen in the Big Ten, he has paid off in spades
no doubt.
For you. And so, yeah, I mean, tell me why you wouldn't pay Unique Ngakoue. I would pay Unique Ngakoue. The question is, as they juggle all this stuff, you know, we were looking at on the break, Tony, Jaguars are projected $30 million over the cap next year. You could save $20 million with the release of Marcell Dareus, even though his cap is 22.5, there's still some dead cap money if you let him go. But you save $20 million bucks right then. Do you want to release Calais? Who knows? Let's see what kind of season he has. You could save $15 million right there. Maybe you keep Calais. You still got to find some more cap space. What about A.J. Boye? $11.5 million if you release A.J. Boye. Is it out of the question that they let A.J. Boye go and move D.J. Hayden in as a starting corner opposite Jalen Ramsey? I don't think it's out of the question. I'm not predicting any of these individual things to happen, but these are the kind of considerations they're going to have. What if Leonard Fournette has another injury-marred season? You could save half of his cap hit by letting him go. He's going to count 8.6. So you'd The dead cap's about 4.4, so a little less than half, but you'd save over $4 million. So you got to come up with this money somewhere along the line. What are you laughing at?
I just appreciate it when these guys finally get to their second contract so the numbers are round. Like, looking at the Leonard Fournette deal, his cap hit next year is $8,638,907.
Right.
And if you – the dead cap is $4,471,519 compared to Marquise Lee, whose base is $8.75 million, and Marquise would be 3.5 dead cap.
Right, or like, Calais is 17.5, dead cap 2.5.
Yeah.
Right, so very much simpler
Once
math.
They get to that second deal, you don't have to deal with these fractions of thousands.
Speaking of these little fractions of dollars, let me give you the poll results first, and then I'll hold that thought. Jan, 71% say he'll be the next to get the deal.
Uh-huh.
20% say Jalen Ramsey. I do not think that's going to be the case.
Agreed.
I'd bet on Miles Jack ahead of Jalen Ramsey.
Me too.
I have no particular insight into this. Just trying to play our own game of logic and how much control you have over Jalen potentially with a couple of franchise tags for four more full seasons, which is longer than he has spent in a Jaguar uniform to this point. Miles Jack at 6% of the vote and none of the above at 3%. Either you think someone else will get a long-term extension or maybe none of these guys ultimately get a long-term extension from the Jags. So speaking of the little piddly amount of money, apparently I underpaid the IRS, right? And so I get this letter. You have 30 days to respond and pay this. We will put a lien on your property. We'll levy your, all these words that will seize everything you have. Oh, 27 cents.
Good Lord! That's a lot of money!
I owe them 27 cents. And they're sending me a letter. We will seize your house. That's why people, many reasons. Actually, it might be 17 cents, come to think of it. I think it is. I think it's 17 cents. Here's a quarter, IRS. You know no one cares, so I don't need to complete the rest of the song lyric. But seriously? I mean, many reasons to hate them. But that was my most recent reason to not.
That's absurd.
17 cents. It probably cost them more to send me that letter than the 17 cents that I owe them. I'm going to tape 17 pennies to a piece of paper. All debts, public and private. Here you go. Enjoy the hell out of these 17 pennies, IRS. And maybe I'll double up the envelope so they don't slip through the cracks on the end. All right. your mom make it through the 2 hours?
Yeah, she made it.
Good. Good to know. Does she want to go back to see Endgame again with you, or is she?
Oh, I'm sure she would. Yeah.
Would she?
Yeah.
She's not a one and done.
No, she'll. Yeah. Yeah. Like, this has been bred in me from when I was very young.
Oh, so you got it from the parents?
Yeah. Like my dad, no way, but my mom definitely. She'd go see a movie more than once.
All right. I'm halfway through season 3 of Sneaky Pete on Amazon Prime. That's my binge at the moment, and that's about it. That's what we got for you today.
I was disappointed yesterday. I wanted to watch. There's a documentary, and yesterday was the anniversary of 30 years ago when the city government in Philadelphia dropped a bomb on its own citizens and burned like a block of the city to the ground because of a cult, basically, that was on that city block. And I had watched the documentary a few years ago called Let the Fire Burn, and I had never heard anything about it. I was like, what are the odds that I've never heard about this story of the government of Philadelphia basically burning down a city block? But it's not on Netflix anymore. I think it's on Canopy, which you can get if you have a library
Canopy?
Card. It's a library card, basically, is what you need to get access to their online library of all their streaming stuff.
My wife has a library card.
Yeah, so you could probably watch it on there.
It was
excellent.
All right.
Disturbing.
You've seen it.
Then. I've seen it. But yeah, yesterday was the 30-year anniversary. I couldn't watch
When's
it.
When's the second episode of Chernobyl out?
It should have been on Monday.
Was it?
Should have been.
Good. I'll watch that tonight.
I think that's a Monday night show.
There you go. Chernobyl. Spoiler alert. Everyone dies from radiation poisoning. Okay? Let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with everything except leftovers. Order your office private event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
Acker's shirt looks radioactive, doesn't it? It's a very bright
congratulations,
red.
Congratulations, Dad. Haven't seen you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been quite a week. 1 week ago today, life-changing, no question about it.
Yeah. What's been your – have you had a favorite moment, or is just everything kind of a big blur or what?
couple favorite moments. The first time my mom got to see him, it's her first grandson.
Uh-huh.
And I think she
did. You cry like a baby?
Did I?
Wait, yes.
I did not. My mother did.
Oh, I cry like a baby when my son was born.
Yeah, no, I mean, there might have been a few tears, but my mom lost it. I think she had, well, she's already lost all hope in my older brother. And I think a lot of hope was being lost in me, but the fact that she now has a grandson, that was a very, very, very special moment. And, you know, obviously, when you look at a baby and you're like, oh my gosh, this is your son.
A person.
Yeah.
A human being.
You know, you always hear stories. Like, I remember when you had your son and you hear stories, but until you're actually holding it for yourself and you realize, this is my kid.
Best thing ever, man.
Unbelievable.
Best thing ever. Congrats, Hack.
Thank you, bud.
To you and the whole family. And it doesn't really matter what you have coming up for the next 3 hours, although we'll be listening. You know, have a good show today.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. You know, that reminded me, I don't know if you saw Billions this week. Hack was like talking about his mom kind of writing off the younger brother or whatever. the one character's dad, I guess he's the grandfather of the two kids, Chuck Rhodes' kids, and the grandfather gives the boy, I mean, they're all filthy rich, right? He gives the boy a slinky for his birthday, and he goes, hey, go find some hardwood stairs and you know, go amuse yourself or whatever. And then as soon as he leaves the room, he tells the parents, if he's playing with it for more than a day, put all your efforts into your daughter. Like, like if this thing, if he doesn't realize to move on from the slinky after 24 hours, he's a lost cause at this point in time. Much like today's episode of Jaguars Today is a lost cause. We're completely done. Although it's maybe not lost. It's archived on 1010XL in the on-demand section. At least it will be in the next 30 minutes.
Hello, future people.
Hello.
Hello from the past.
This is great. This morning at 11:53, we sent these greetings to you across the time-space continuum. All right, that'll do it for us today. For Fat Tony, for E.T., for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. As always, we appreciate you listening. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon with Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...